on page Samach Dalad, the last page, last page of the Gemara. Further. There. Last page. Eight. Huh? Just all the commentaries. Some of the commentaries. A minute amount of commentaries. Okay, 12 lines from the top. Is that again? Amar Rabbi Alevi. Amar Rabbi Alevi. Rabbi Alevi said, "My dechsev. What is this that it says in Tilim? David Amalek says, Yancha Hashem b'yem tzara. May Hashem answer you on the day of your tzaras, of your problems. Yisagav Hashem alakei Yaakov. That the name of the God of Yaakov will strengthen you." So Gemara's question is, why does it only say the God of Yaakov and not the God of Avram Yitzchak? I mean, is that Hashem of, like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, like Avram, like Yitzchak, like Yaakov? So Mikan, from here, the Balakeda, she Kanis Bav Yishokeda. From here we see, as the expression goes, that when people are carrying a beam and there's problems, so the owner of the beam has to come and help along, stand in the middle, so to speak. It's an expression that basically means, when there's an issue, the person who's the involved in it, he has to be the one to do it. So since he is the one that raised all the children, like Rashi says, Shekol Banim Shali, all the kids are his. He raised them. He had the problems. So therefore, he has to take care of them. So therefore, who is the one to fight the most for the Jews? Because you have to say, Avram had a Yishmael, Yitzchak had an Esav, Yaakov, all the Shvatim, the Jews call him from Yaakov. So he's really the most involved in it, and therefore he has to stick up for all the Jews. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi ben Alevi. Rabbi ben Alevi says, the Kol Ananim is Suda Shetalmud Chochem Shari B'Seicha. Whoever benefits from a meal, where Talmud Chochem is involved in the Suda, where the Talmud Chochem is part of the meal, oops. So the Rabbi ben Alevi says, "Kol ananim esuda shetamid chacham shari b'seichel. Whoever benefits from a meal where tamid chacham is part of the meal, kol ananim iziv hashchina. It's like they benefited from the rays of the shchina." So the Mashal explains why is it that the Gemara brings a pasuk. But why is it that if you benefit from a meal of a Talmud Chacham, it's like you benefit from the Shechina? So the Gemara, so the Mashal explains, because if there's a scholar at the meal, for sure there's going to be words of Torah. Mm-hmm. And in Pirkei Avos it says that if you have a meal, three people are at a meal, and there's no words of Torah, mm-hmm. It's like they had the sacrifices of idol worshipping. If there's Torah at the meal, then it becomes Zeh HaShulchan HaShalifnei Hashem. It becomes the table before God. So the simple explanation is that if there's Talmid Chacham at the meal, so then for sure you're going to be hearing words of Torah, and words of Torah is the Shechina, so therefore it's beneficial for the person. But he brings a Pasuk, Shenamar, because it says in the Pasuk, Vayavi Arin, when Yisri came to Meshe Rabbeinu, when Yisri was coming, so it says they threw a they threw a party. So it says, Vayavi Arin v'chol Zikne Yisrael, all Aaron came and all the elders of the Jews came, lech olechem, to eat bread, im chais and Mesha, with the father-in-law of Mesha, lefnehu alekim, before God. That's what it says, they ate before God. So the Gemara says, v'chi lefnehu alekim ochlu. What do you mean, they ate before God? They didn't eat before God. Ali lefnehu Mesha ochlu. They ate in front of Mesha Rabbeinu. Right? So therefore, why does it say that they ate lefnehu alekim? So teaches us, le'elei melach, the teachers. If whoever benefits from a meal, that the scholar is amongst it, it's like you ate from the Shechina. So therefore it says, to teach us that if you eat with a meal, with Aaron and Moshe and everybody, it's like you eat in the presence of Hashem. The Gemara says in a different place, Rashi brings it down, what happened to Moshe? It doesn't say Moshe was eating. It says the Aaron came, the elders came, what happened to Moshe? So it says, Rashi quotes, that Moshe Rabbeinu was serving everybody. If he was serving everybody, so then,
yes, serving the Yeshiva?
He was serving them.
But he... How do you see men in the Suda?
He was also Nenef from the Suda, but he was just standing above them. Like we find by Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu was supervising them, giving them food. He didn't actually partake of it. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amir, these are all expressions from Rabbah ben Alevi. Amir Rabbah ben Alevi said, Anifta mechaveire, whoever leaves from his friend, whoever parts from his friend, going on their own way, Al yemer lelech b'sholim, don't say go with peace, Al lelech l'sholim, go to peace. Okay? So he brings on over here, what does it mean? So it says, because the word shalom normally means peace. Okay? But shalom also means completeness. So when a person is alive, they're able to become greater and greater. So you want to tell the person, lech lishalom, go to peace, meaning go to completeness, go become better and better and better. When a person has died, when a person passed away, so then you say, lech bishalom, go in peace. He can't go anymore to a higher, greater level, physically, because he died. So therefore, the Gemara says, in fact, by when a person passes away, in the tefillah you say lech bishalim. But by a living person, you don't say lech bishalim, you say lech lishalim. Where do we see this? Sharei Yitzrei, sha'amel le'meisha. Yitzrei, who Meisha Rabbeinu said to him, lech lishalim. Meisha Rabbeinu said to Yitzrei, lech lishalim. So then, harei alav itzliach. He became very successful. He became a big person, a great tzaddik, and so on. Now, the Gemara says, but David sha'amalei la'avsholim, but David said to Avsholim, lech bishalim, go in peace, what happened to him? Halach v'nitli, he ended up being hanged. Because there's a whole story, the Gemara says in Saita, that there are a few people, this had beautiful eyes, this person had beautiful eyes, they were killed, punished with their eyes. Avsholim had unbelievable long hair. Beautiful hair. And he wanted to overthrow David HaMelech. I mean, it wasn't such a simple story with him. Anyway, he's riding once on his mule, and his hair got caught in a tree branch. And he was thrown back and forth, and he died. So David HaMelech said to Avsholim, lech bishalim. So he ended up getting hanged. He cursed him in the spears of David HaMelech's general, Yoav.
Is this applicable today too? In a sense,
in fact, they bring down, how did David HaMelech say this to his own son?
That's what they
answered, that David HaMelech wanted to say, lech lishalim. But because Avshalom was a Rasha, Hashem made David HaMelech change, Hashem caused it to happen, that instead of saying, lech lishalim, he said, lech bishalim. Here he says, Mukayesi brings down and explains our Gemara in this manner. One who says to a traveler, go with peace, implies a wish to see him accompanied by peace in his journey, but not awaited at his destination. And Lech Bishalem means you should go in peace, but when you get to your destination, you shouldn't have peace. Lech Lishalem means go to peace, it means it should be a continuous concept of peace. And he says, even though the person says Lech Bishalem doesn't necessarily mean a curse. Nevertheless, the words are so powerful, words generally are so powerful, that even if you don't mean a curse, many times if it could be interpreted as a curse, and you deserve it, the curse will happen. So you have to be very careful in the way the person says. There's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, that when Baal Shem Tov overheard, two of his students got into a fight. Believe it or not, the Baal Shem Tov's students got into a fight, and the Baal Shem Tov heard the way one said to the other one, I'll rip you apart like a fish. He said to him, I'll rip you apart like a fish. Or like people say today, I'll kill you. You know what I mean? Not that they're killing the person, but they say it. So the Baal Shem Tov, like we know, the students used to sit around the table like a ches. And whenever the Baal Shem Tov wanted to show a vision, they would sing a song, and they would hold hands on each other's shoulders. And then in the middle of the song, the Baal Shem Tov closed the circuit by putting his hands on the students next to him. And then they saw visions, and the Baal Shem Tov took off his hands, the vision was over. So Baal Shem Tov told the students to hold hands, and they sang a song, and the Baal Shem Tov showed them a vision, the way the guy was literally ripping the person apart like a fish. He was actually doing it. And all the students shrieked in horror, because it was a horrorful sight. And the Baal Shem Tov took off his hand, and he told the students, there's a world of action, there's a world of speech, and there's a world of thought. This is an action world. So if somebody says, I'm going to kill you, in action it doesn't happen, so you're not liable. But the truth is, Baal Shem Tov said, in the world of speech, in the world of speech, if you say to somebody, I'll kill you, so in the world of speech it happens. If you think it, in the world of thought, it happens. But this is an action world, so it doesn't really have its effect. But the truth of the matter is, it does have its effect. So even though somebody says to their friend, Lech b'shalom, they don't mean a curse. But the fact is they said something which could have negative implications. So if the person deserves it, for whatever reason it is, it might happen. It might happen.
But again, so applicable today, you're saying that this is what one can say.
Yeah. In fact, it's even about on Shulchan Aruch. You should take it, say Lech l'shalim and not Lech b'shalim. And I told you, by a funeral, one of the prayers, you take it, say to the dead body, Lech b'shalim. Okay, V'amir Rabbah ben Alevi said, Hanifta min ames, one who parts from a dead person, meaning to go... Whoever parts from a dead person, meaning at a funeral, so al yemelele, you shouldn't say to the dead person, so to speak, lech lishalim, go to peace, al lech bishalim, you should say go in peace. Why? Because if you say, and again, it's interesting, there's a difference between a living person and a dead person. A living person, you're supposed to say go to completeness, go to peace. To a dead body, you don't say go to peace. Which means that he hasn't reached peace, and you're telling him to go to peace. So a dead person, you say, go in peace. Mean to imply, he already has peace.
Mm-hmm.
He has peace, and you're telling him to go to peace. But to go in peace. But you tell him go to peace, it means he's not complete yet, and now you want to make him complete.
But are we assuming he is complete already by
then? Hopefully you want to say it, because by saying it, it has its implications also. Even though it says, it's an interesting, you know, in by Chabad, they don't make eulogies for people who pass away. They don't eulogize at all. That's Chabad custom. In many Chassidish places, they don't do it. Why? One of the reasons, it says in Sfarim, you have to be extremely careful if you eulogize somebody incorrectly. If you praise them more than the person really is, it's damaging to the person who died.
Which happens all the time, I would think.
You're right. That's why Chabad doesn't have eulogies at all. Yeah. Why is it? Because in heaven, they know the truth. They know the truth of what the person really was. And when they start eulogizing the person more than the person really was, the heavenly court says to the dead person, look how much you fooled the people. You're such a bluffer. You made them believe more about you than you really are. And that's detrimental to the deceased. So it says that even though you try to find the positive of the person, but you're not allowed to exaggerate things that they were not true at all, because it's detrimental to the person.
That means he cannot say Tarosh Lech B'Shulam?
Well, hopefully, by then maybe the tshuva, the death itself, forgive the person. I mean, there's a lot of inyanim. Mm-hmm. But to get up there and to say, bluff about the person, the heavenly court, it's brought down the song, the heavenly court says, look what you did. You fooled the people to think that you're greater than you really are, and it's no good. It's detrimental to the person. B'chal, they say, the world says, that half the time, with all those speeches going on at a funeral, if the dead person would be able to talk, he'd get up and say, do me a favor, be quiet, let me go underground. You know, how can this shine? Let me, because it says for a neshama, the ultimate peace. That's why, according to Torah law, you have to bury as soon as possible. Mamish as soon as possible. Why? Because the neshama doesn't have peace until it's in the ground. And with all this, these speeches, the nifter would get up and say, be quiet already, let me get to peace already, Yakin Gachainik, with all these speeches.
So then would it be appropriate for a person that thinks is about to pass away to say no eulogies and be
okay? There are people that leave over in their wills no eulogies. But in Chabad it's automatic anyway.
Right.
So what do they do?
Nothing. They just bury the person. There's no chapel service, there's none of that. It's straight burial.
Kaddish.
Yeah.
Can I just get off the subject? I mean, similar subject. But I've been told, because it's been on my mind, that you're not supposed to wear black. Is that right?
At a funeral?
At a funeral. The Jews don't. I mean, somebody said that it's just improper or incorrect.
Nowadays it is. In the olden times, they did wear black at funerals. In Halacha, it says you wore black. Then it became the non-Jewish tradition of wearing black at funerals. So because of that, it became a shayla chukisem le'selech, going in the path of non-Jews. So therefore, but the fact is today, where it's like universally accepted in all places, it's not so terrible to wear black at a funeral. But there was a time, it says, the dafka to wear black and all that is not something which is, because the goyim do it, and then you're following in the footsteps of a goy.
Especially the woman.
Especially the women.
Wear?
Huh? Nothing. They don't go out to wear out of the way dafka to wear the black veils and the black, you know, all that stuff. They wear dark clothing because you don't want to wear loud clothing at a funeral. But it's shouldn't be an emphasis on black.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of halachas like that that have an implication of non-Jewish traditions. I'll give you another example, which is a big machlekes in halacha. Even though today a lot of people are lenient, to go to the opposite extreme from havayis ames tachnosis kala. Many people are against making chuppas in a shul. Many halachic authorities are against making a chuppah inside a shul. Why? Because how does a chuppah get to a shul? A chuppah is supposed to be outside under the sky. The reason why people make it in a shul is because goyim lahav, they'll make it in their churches. So this is a form of following the tradition of a non-Jew, but it has nothing to do with a shul. It's a davening. How does a chuppah get to a shul? People do it because the goyim lahav, they'll do it in their churches, so Jews do it in their...
Is there anything that says you're not supposed to do it in the shul?
There are many authorities that say you're not allowed to.
The banquet hall is...
Most people today maintain you could. No, banquet hall is not a problem. It's not a...
So if you did it inside the shul,
no,
you mean you have to get remarried?
No.
But
many from people today do it inside the shul, by the way. There's an argument in halacha. Many from people today do it in shul because they hold it to authorities that say you could. But I'm just saying, that, giving you an example, there are many people that say you shouldn't do it because it's following the footsteps of a guy.
The funeral, because a lot of people wear them close, Shabbos to be close to a funeral. It's not right.
It's not right. I mean, you don't go dressed up to a banquet like you're going to dinner.
Yes.
But you have to dress like a man. I mean, I don't think you should go to a funeral in blue jeans.
No. But it's vochadik clothes. You know?
People don't get dressed up, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so he says, Shenema, where do we see that this is the way you should leave a dead person by saying lech bishalem? Shenema, because the pasuk says that is said to Avraham Avinu. Hashem told Avraham Avinu, "Va'ato tovei al v'secha, you will be buried bishalem, in peace." So you see, Hashem told Avraham Avinu about Avraham Avinu passing away that he will be buried bishalem, in peace. So you see, that's the correct way of doing it. You know, there's an interesting thing while we're on the subject. We're almost finished anyway. We have to leave the scene for another time. But you know, many people have a minig that they bring by Levi, they bring the coffin into a shul. Into a shul?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. In the halacha it says it should only be done for a great person.
Yes, that's right.
For a regular person, you don't bring them into a shul.
That's right.
And I remember my father told me there was a big rav in Chicago. I don't know if it was in the 20s or 30s. I mean, a long time ago, a big rav in Chicago. Maybe later, maybe in the 40s, I don't know. He was like the rav of the whole Chicago. And he made a takana. Nobody is allowed to be brought into a shul for a funeral. Not the greatest tzad. No, that's it. In Chicago, they didn't. Why? Because it was getting out of hand. They're bringing in everybody and bringing people that weren't proper and mm-hmm. weren't religious, and, mm-hmm. and you're not allowed to do it. So they made a takana. Nobody's to be brought into shul.
Yeah, I remember the levite from Aru. I was 65 years ago. He brought him Rav Shapiro, mm-hmm. a mask in his
window. Yeah, yeah.
And brought him in the shul.
Yeah, but regular people.
There's the roof from the shul.
Yeah. I remember because there was a time that my father was one night in Chicago and he brought somebody into the shul for a funeral. He got very upset by it. And then he told me the whole story that this Rav made a takana.
Mm-hmm.
What, because they're considered
no, because I don't know why, there's a whole thing,
there's a minik to go through the shul,
go through the shul, but not the actual shul.
No,
they go by the shul and everybody goes out.
Yes.
Okay, then the Gemara says, oh, Amar Rablevi Barchia said, Hayaitim Mibeis HaKnesses, whoever leaves the shul, v'nichnas the Beis HaMedrash, and is going into the Beis HaMedrash, v'eisik b'teir, and he's going immediately goes from davening to learning, meaning it's not necessarily the Beis HaMedrash, but you go immediately from davening to learning, zeichu mekabel p'nei ha-shechina. You go and you merit to see the Shechina itself. Shenamer, because it says in the Pasuk, yerchu michayel l'choyel, you should go from strength to strength, meaning if you go from one strength to another strength, if you go from learning to, from davening to learning, so Yiroa Lakim Betzin, you're going to see Hashem in Tzion. You're going to see Hashem in Tzion. Okay, the truth is we have to stop here because the next four lines are going to make a Tzion. We have to make a Tzion when there's a, maybe next Sunday we'll make it after davening. Make a whole breakfast to make a bigger Tzion. So we'll stop here and then we have to figure out what Gemara we're going to learn next.
I didn't learn the whole